Brother Byford was supposed to preach, and Brother Chris always does a wonderful job. And appreciate him being ready, and we'll have him the next time. And we're so thankful for Chris and his ability to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thankful for Daniel and other men who stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. In the book of Acts, in the third chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. At this particular time, I want you to look at this man and where he's at. You will find that when one goes into Jerusalem, that there is a gate that leads to the temple, and it's called the Beautiful Gate. I have read where it takes up to 20 men to open or close that gate. That it was constructed of Corinthian bronze, and it had a plant with silver and gold upon it. It showed fruit as part of the design, and it was indeed something marvelous to behold in that particular day. But I want you to observe that while this man laid at a beautiful gate, he is in what we might identify an ugly circumstance. Notice they laid the man at the gate, and the man was lame. And perhaps the man picked this spot because he knew the people would be going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And perhaps with their mind on God, they would be more generous. So here is a man whose circumstance is not good, but he's at a beautiful place. And I want you to think about that lame man, because in the book of Leviticus and to the 21st chapter, and if my memory serves me correctly, about verse 18, you remember that man could not go into the temple. That somebody that was lame or somebody that had some kind of infirmity that would make them lame was not allowed to go into the temple area. Here he was close to the temple, but not in the temple because he was prohibited because of his disease, because of his lameness. But then I want you to think about something else. I want you to think about when he takes and notices Peter and John. Notice the Bible said he fixed his eyes on them. And notice Peter doesn't say to him, "I'm going to give you a bunch of money," because Peter said, "I have no money." He said, "Silver and gold I do not have." But he said, "I'm going to give you something in the name of Jesus Christ." In other words, he says, "By the authority of Christ, I'm going to perform this miracle. And this miracle will confirm that what we teach is the truth." And I want you to think about that here is a man who was not able to go into the temple, who was not able to praise God inside with all the others, laying at the beautiful gate, when all of a sudden Peter comes and Peter is able to lift him up and that man is able to walk. Notice again in your Bible in the book of Acts and the third chapter what the Bible says. In verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So look at what this man does. He tested out. In verse 8, leaping up. This man had never stood before, and all of a sudden now he's leaping. I want that pictured in your mind. He leaped up, he stood up, and then the Bible says he walked and entered the temple. He walked into the temple leaping, and notice he's praising God. And in verse 9, when the people saw him walking and praising God, they said, "This is the man who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple." And they're filled with wonder and amazement. I want you to note, my friend, that he entered the temple for the first time. And you can be somewhere that's beautiful and have an ugly problem, but now, my friend, he is somewhere beautiful and in a good condition. He's able to go into the temple to worship God. I want to take that, make application, and the lesson juries. I want to talk to you about the tragedy of being at, but not being in. It's one thing to be at services. It's another thing to be engaged in worship. It's one thing to be at with the saints of God, but it's another thing to be engaged in giving God glory. And when you read your Bible, you'll find that there are many people that spiritually they're dead, but they may be attending services. If you take your Bible, turn to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter. And when the Apostle Paul penned this letter to the church at Ephesus, notice that the man of God writes to them and says, "You who were dead in your sins and trespasses." He says, "You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins," in verse 1, "in what you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." You once were dead. You were in an ugly circumstance. But notice that Paul says you were children walking and conducting yourself according to the lust of the flesh in verse 3, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. But look at what happens in verse 4. But God, underscore that. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. Well, when does that happen? Look at verse 6. When we've been raised up together. When are we raised up? Take your Bible and look in the Roman letter and the 6th chapter. And you'll find when one is raised up, it's in the act of baptism. When one comes to Christ, they are born again in the act of baptism. In Romans chapter 6, look at verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be walked in newness of life. Just as Christ was raised, we are what? Raised to walk in newness of life. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you in Christ? The only way you're in Christ is if you've been baptized into Him. You've been baptized into His death, and you've been raised to walk in newness of life. Now, you can be here every Sunday and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, and I'll tell you, my friend, that's wonderful that you've come, but there's a difference for being at and being in. And we need to be in Christ. It's like in the days of Noah. There could be people standing at the ark when the flood started, but unless you're in the ark, you perished. That's what it says in Matthew 24. It took them all away. Who? Who was not in the ark? Well, those who are not in Christ, who are not saved, who are not one of the children of God, they can be at and yet be in an ugly circumstance. But that brings up something else. Salvation is in Christ. And what we need to learn is that as His children, as His people in Christ, we live differently than the world. Open your Bible back to the Ephesian letter and the first chapter. And when you go back to what Paul penned to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, notice Paul's not ashamed to tell them. Beginning in verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." You name the spiritual blessing, and I'll show you where it's at. He says He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We just had a prayer meeting. You know, my friend, we only have that because we're in Christ. You name the spiritual blessing, and I'll show you where you find it in Christ. Salvation in Christ. Prayer in Christ. Whatever the blessing that is spiritual in nature, it's in Christ. And then look at what he says in verse 7. In him, what do we have? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now I want to raise a question as we bring the lesson to a close. Are you at church? And what I mean by that is, did you just come and say, I'm at the building, I'm with people? Or are you in the body? Sometimes we'll say, well, they're at church. Well, I know what that means. That means they're with the people of God. But I'll tell you, the question that we really need to ask is, are we in Christ? Because without being in Christ, we can be in a beautiful place, but be in a bad set of circumstances. Oh, I think that's powerful. That man was at the beautiful gate. But what a difference when he could go in to the temple. You and I can be at the door. But until we come in the door and are in Christ, we stand outside. And how beautiful it is when you are able to come in and say, I'm a child of God. I'm in Christ. I'm a disciple. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of the one who died for me. What a beautiful thing to be in Christ. If you need to be baptized into Christ, our prayers you'll do so this evening. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.